Yeah, so I've kind of stayed away from it. I didn't even notice until last night. I checked, like, my state email, and there was something from DCJ about, we're scrambling. We don't know what any of this kind of means.
You know, yeah.
We depend on some of this funding for stuff, and I don't know what the fuck's going on. And I was like, oh, Christ, he's really fucked up.
Yeah.
This Trump's really gone.
He's really done
he's
it.
He's really gone and done. He's only gone and done it. So I knew something was up, and then I read a few things today about kind of what was going on. And then I'm looking at it, watching a video, and fucking Chuck Schumer comes out and goes, he's trying to defund the police. I'm like, Chuck, fucking kill yourself.
Oh, my God.
Just kill yourself. I was like, what are we doing here? What does this mean?
Why were they kept just talking? Yeah, I mean, that this is related to the main thing that I got was that we're talking about January 6th for like the last 3 weeks.
Have you seen, by the way, also, are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you seen the fact that like all of these January 6th pardon people are getting murked?
I knew one did. I only knew one.
It's up to three now. Three separate people, two by the police and one by like just a random person because this person was coming up to their house with like some paperwork and she walked out with a shotgun and was starting to threaten them. And the guy who was delivering the paperwork had a gun, just gunned her down. So this is number three now. And then
imagine getting out of jail.
Another one got arrested for soliciting a minor. So,
I mean, they're all tuned up. They have to be so happy. Like they had to wait a few years, but what they wanted to happened exactly.
Yeah. And they're celebrating by just endless suicide.
getting domed one after the other. They all had survivor's guilt because one woman died at the Capitol. I forget her name.
Ashley Babbitt
died. They all have what they call it Babbitt syndrome.
Yeah,
it's survivor's guilt.
A million Ashley Babbitts.
Just survivor's guilt.
Unleashed into America.
I only knew about the one guy who they pulled over but was like, I'm a sovereign citizen. They just fucking shot him. Like, fuck this guy. Unbelievable. Yeah, I did not know that. I don't even know what to be honest with you, trying to follow this Trump shit, like I said before, I don't even know what to fucking make of it. I don't think he knows what to make of it. I think most of it's just made up on the fly.
It's just being handed to him.
It's just made up on the fly. They're like, we're doing this. We're doing that.
Yeah.
We're doing this.
They took the three most evil people at the Heritage Foundation and said, just like, you're running the federal government now. Because, yeah, they accidentally pressed the, like, Medicaid off button the other day. And then...
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah. They were like, no, we didn't. And it's like, everybody's like, yeah, no, we can't access Medicaid. Like, yeah, you can. I think it got fixed at this point, but I don't know.
Yeah, because they just sent, I guess what happened with like the nonprofits and stuff is like, you know, DCJ does like programs for reentry and for all this different stuff. And I'm sure there's, you know, federal money involved in that in some fashion. And they just send a memo to like the state and they're like, yeah, we're not going to do it right now. They're like, what do you mean? What do you mean? When? I don't know. They're like, how, what? I don't know.
Yeah,
because they just like they don't even tell you. It's just it's this is why it's like
so like slapdash,
man. Yeah. And then like I saw like Jennings was like, well, we're gonna sue the federal government. They're gonna win.
They're gonna win.
I don't know. It's just for clicks. It's just so. Yeah. What's her name? I didn't even know this happened. Fucking Father Burke was like, yeah, the new like Homeland Security director or whatever went out on a raid, an ICE raid in like tactical gear.
Yeah, I think it's Christy Noem.
The like dog shooter.
Oh my
dog
god!
The attractive dog shooter.
The dime. You know, she kills dogs, but she's a dime.
There's a video of her where she's like kind of whispering, and she's like NYC 7 a.m. about to catch some illegals or something like that.
Oh my god!
She's geared up.
But again, this is just like. This is just like, it's just a story, people. I mean, yes, of course, number one, of course, it's horrible doing ICE raids, but, you know, I told Reverend Burke when he was here, I was like, look up the amount of deportations that Barsacco Crumbo did for a surprise. Google that for a big surprise. So it's just like, Yeah, I mean, they're using it now to do like a very evil, cartoonish Nazi thing on TV, which is not good. But I mean, ICE has been raiding and deporting people at pace for through Biden, Obama, everybody. So I don't know. I mean, it's fucking weird though. It is weird seeing like Dr. Phil go on an ICE raid. Like, what the fuck is happening? Is Alex Jones going to go on one? He's like, hey, we got this guy's a pedophile. We got to get him. Where are you from, sir? You're from Guatemala. It's a sicko.
Guy Fieri. I could see him going on one.
Yeah.
Although he's a restaurant owner. You think he would know that would be bad for his bottom line.
Correct.
I think someone pointed out that, because now ICE is like posting their daily numbers of like, oh yeah, we arrested this many people just as like a propaganda thing. And someone pointed out, I was like, this is actually not that far from what the Biden administration was doing like a month ago. And I, you know, that might go up as they kind of get their act together, but it's bad. And it was bad, and it's still bad. And they're like arrested a Native American person up in Alaska. I don't know what they were doing in Juneau, Alaska. They just arrested like a Puerto Rican family for speaking Spanish. Like, it's not good. It's very bad.
When you try to take a Native Inuit person in Alaska, where do you deport them to?
The Bering Strait.
Yeah, everybody else in Alaska.
You're like, I've been here, motherfucker.
Has there been anything locally?
In Delaware?
Yeah.
There was a barber shop that got raided. Somebody got arrested.
Okay.
And there might have been some backlash there around just like the barbershop owner kind of letting it happen. But then they posted like a Know Your Rights thing the next day. So I don't know what's going on there specifically. There's been a lot of rumors around like, oh, something's happening in Milford, something's happening in Georgetown, something's happening in Newark, but I haven't seen anything.
Kind of like the drones.
Very similar.
Wars and rumor.
Because the issue is once you're looking for it, the fact is that like these law enforcement people are everywhere and they're always doing something.
Usually sitting in an idling car.
Yeah. But like it's, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's unclear how much of it is ICE and how much of it is like immigration related.
Speaking of what police do. So Susan and I are going down to the Eastern Shore early Saturday morning. And I just got this idea. I hadn't had a donut in, I couldn't even tell you how long. But, of course, I've been, like, deep diving into all David Lynch stuff. He was a huge fan of the donut. And I said, Susan, let's go to Dunkin' Donuts right here and just get some donuts, whatever, and we'll get them. Run in there and waiting with a few people. And in walks an extremely short female police officer to pick up her donuts. Right? Now, number one, If I was in a different situation and I could have gotten away with it, this would have been a Brace Belden special.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking 5'2".
Loves picks of the
5'2", 5'3", maybe.
Yeah.
Like.
No, that would seem normal. It's got to be shorter than that.
I don't know. It was crazy.
4'10",
but like 4'11". Full, like a small woman, blonde woman, in like, but full tactical gear. Like there was more vest than like torso. And I'm just like, what are we doing? Like, why are you dressed like
also,
that?
Also, like, at the donut store.
You're at donut store. You're dressed like, in more sort of battle armor than, like, the Romans had when they, you know, crossed the fucking Rubicon. And it's just like, what is this for?
Well, they might have to break up, like, a neighbor, like, a parking lot dispute later, like, over their person's favorite space. Like, they might be called to adjudicate that.
Look, whose space is... Or maybe they'll just be sort of hunting people on the prowl over at the Kirkwood, 10th and Kirkwood. Yeah, I don't know, man. So what do you guys... Let's talk about this. Let's talk about some accessories in this new spot. The Turtle Bell is on its way. That's happening. That's already. We know that. I think I want to put the Wapala flag up there.
Do you want to talk about the rules for the bell first? How do you envision? Because that's my one.
It's a great question.
You know, your new favorite show. That's one issue I've expressed with it is a very repetitive noise that occurs.
Yeah, look, I literally grabbed my phone so I could like, because he's a liar.
It just loses all meaning if you use it all the time.
I know, but it's just like it's part of his pacing almost. I actually like the like the ones that aren't the bombs. There's one that's like a little bottle rocket. It just goes pew. Like, I like that one. So yeah, and also I've been inspired by, of course, the great legend Brace Belden, who has a gong, right. Famously has a gong, which I like. And so yeah, I just wanted something funny that would sort of tie these stories together. And it just came up that we would ring this Delaware Way bell, and. Now, even before I have it, it came up in a conversation with Riley. It was just like, ring the fucking bell.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it works, maybe it doesn't work. I don't know. But it's just funny to have it. So I'm getting a nickel-plated turtle bell to go with this. This is nice, right? Look at this.
Gorgeous.
I'm telling you, steel, silver, real silver. Like what an is antique. The, Got this from the shop in New York. Look at that.
What's beautiful. Like? What's the design on the inlay?
I don't even know, but it has a stamp on the back that means something. And I was assured of that. Excellent. So what's going on with you, Carl? I can tell you this. So I know you were there, but you weren't. You were sort of working at the network event on Monday. But I actually had a nice time. I met Riley, of course, and I also met this woman, Noelle. Who was like cool to talk to. She was like she had worked, I think, with Nick Beard on like domestic violence, the victims' rights and stuff. And she was just looking to get more involved. So it was fun. But Kirsten was up there talking about like stuff the network does. We've got a mentoring, you can have coaching, you can like she talked about the levels of engagement and how you bring people up an engagement ladder. And there was some questions like in the group about this engagement ladder. So I'm like, actually, I can explain it. So I explain it in like a small group, the way you would try to work people through, a progression. Don't ask them about and I'm explaining it. And I'm like, so that's the sort of the work of the facilitator to sort of organized that way within a structure of their issue. They were like, that's incredible. I'm like, well, I say, see who's up there speaking right now? Kirsten? She's my coach. So they were like, oh, really? I was like, yeah.
She taught me everything I know.
Everything I know. You want to talk about progression through an engagement ladder? She's the OG. I did say that, though. I was like, Kirsten's my coach. I know all this shit.
You want to talk pluses, deltas, and takeaways?
I did say this. I did say. I know all this shit. I was like, Kirsten taught me last week. Actually, like, I can tell you, like, a Thursday at about 2:30, that's when I learned. That's actually when I just learned what she just said.
I'm actually very lucky I remembered all this.
But, yeah, it was fun. But what are you up to in general? I mean, the legislative session is in?
It has
fever pitch.
It's technically begun.
They're gaveled in.
They tried to pull the trigger on the firing pistol and then it didn't go off. So they were like waving around a little bit and then pointed it down and shot themselves in the foot.
A little flag and I just said bang.
Yeah. So yeah, not really much going on there. I mean, it's January. No one, regardless of the fact that everything's falling apart, they're not really trying to do much. And yeah, similar thing with candidates, like talking to some folks, but it's pretty early on there.
Can I ask you a question? I did have a topic I wanted to ask because, again, I've been doing it for a while. I have like a very cursory sense of like all the local news until I like talk to somebody in person. And I'd be like, what is this? Like I did it with Shanae today about the shooting. Like I knew what happened, but somebody needs to like, I don't trust anybody. I needed information from like somebody, from somebody. So my understanding is, and I always talk about like the little bullet points I know to get corrected. Our friend, ex-governor, Bethany Hall Long.
Oh, yeah.
Bethany Long Hallway.
She tried to nominate somebody for the Port Commission.
A few people.
Like on her, and there, and I guess Meyer was like, "Yeah, I don't think so. That's not how that works." And Townsend is involved in some fashion about like taking executive power away from Meyer. And that's about as much as I know. So can you? This actually seems like something that's right up my alley. Where it's like sort of red bar. It seems obscure, but it's another thing I can just like hit Townsend with. Because I don't like the way that he operates. I mean, I think he's a nice enough fella, and he was in here. I would happily have him back to talk about this. I mean, there's no animosity or anything. But, yeah, what the fuck is he doing?
Well, so, yeah, my basic understanding, and I haven't really been following this closely, or I don't know people directly that were involved in this, so I'm just getting, like, the Spotlight Delaware version of this story and then Grapevine type stuff. So basically, yeah, the governor is able to make these nominations to the Diamond State Port Authority or whatever the name of the corporation is. And I guess Carney didn't, or maybe every new governor gets a certain number. But essentially, yeah, Bethany Hall Long appointed.
She tried to take hers.
She appointed Jeffrey Bullock and then like three union guys. And so my understanding was there was like a larger pool, and these were the ones that she chose from the pool.
Ah, Bullock, yeah, I did hear that. Like that's actually a big dab. That's a dab in your face.
Yeah, I mean that's shit. Of course you're
like you just dismissed that guy as Secretary of State finally, and you've uprooted one of the
after
most evil,
years,
blasphemous, yeah. Just the most profane deeds and words of the last decade in Delaware, and you finally cashier this bald motherfucker. And then Bethany's like, you know what? I must stay on that port.
Yeah. Well,
like the one entity that's going to get, that's due to get anyway, hundreds of millions of our dollars. We're going to stick him there. The one, like, I don't think there's any other project that's that, like, that of that size. It's disgusting. I forgot the fucking Bullock was involved.
And so she does this, even though obviously that's not.
It's absurd.
A good idea. And then Matt gets in there and says, like, I'm rescinding these endorsements, which, you know what, like, I am fine with. I do actually, some of the union guys I support individually, but obviously the process was silly. And so Townsend, as Senate Majority Leader, technically has the ability to or at least his leadership ticket has the ability to decide if you're getting confirmation hearings and voting on nominations. And because they did get nominations from somebody who was governor when they made the nominations, technically they could just hear those people and then put them on if they wanted to. Because my understanding is that, like, for reasons, some good, mostly bad, like, everybody in the legislature is mad at Matt Meyer. Because I know, obviously, on the House side, all the leadership endorsed Bethany Hall Long, and Val had this grand plan to like use her as a puppet.
You know what? I'm so sorry.
And it didn't work out for
either
of them.
I'm so sorry everybody's fucking mad about it.
And then for the Senate, I don't know any of the specifics there, but I do know there is a Matt Meyer, Brian Townsend beef that goes back to when I was
law
on like
school.
War
I was say, like,
yeah, law school.
But they African dropshipping
yeah,
companies.
501 contracts too. They had a big dispute.
Worse than that, there was something in Townsend's district where like a nunnery was either being demolished or
oh the Little Sisters of the Poor in Christiana. I'm sort of vaguely familiar with.
So they were basically on opposite sides of that, and Brian Townsend got really mad at Matt Meyer over it, and I think he still holds that grudge today. He can come on and say that I'm wrong, which
I would be happy to have you come on and refute this.
But that's you know. Word on the street is that that is part of the long-standing beef that he has. So my understanding is that they're not like going forward with it in terms of like going forward with the Bethany nominations, but I don't know where it stands with like Matt making nominations. It's just, you know, stupid.
Yeah, so it's like I just don't see, like, it's fair enough to like hold a grudge and then kind of fuck around and be like, hey, maybe we'll have hearings. Maybe we'll have a Jeffrey Bullock hearing. Public, we'll nominate, we'll vote. You know, I could see like kind of like trying to, you know, needle, But if you go ahead with that, what does that get you? Like, where are you at? Like, you don't see a way the winds blowing, pal? Like, you know.
He did say that he likes.
The clock's fucking ticking.
Doesn't take a weatherman.
He said that, like, they feel that they have it on strong legal grounds, too. And I like this idea of it there being a tube that just says, like a tube, like at the DMV, like that just says governor on it. It's like, oh, the governor tube's the popping off again.
Tube.
All right, here's the names.
Listen.
Oh, they look familiar.
When we were fighting the struggle in South Africa to end apartheid, the one thing we knew we needed to do was if there was a leader for 6 days, only 6 days, we had to take all of their positions very seriously and vote on them. This is how one of the main pillars of our struggle. Fucking loser. I'm... It's funny because I mentioned Townsend to Father Burke because, you know, it's not a secret that there was a push last term in 2024 for like a very modest, I'm being fucking kind here, very modest reform package in like judicial oversight or sort of like police oversight. It was like criminal defense attorneys could get misconduct reports in discovery, which only like civil attorneys can now. It's different little things like this. And, you know, Cindy Romer kind of was like, not sure if she was going to do it. Now, you know, the political situation has changed and there's a package of these small reforms that are going to be probably introduced in the House. Now, at the State of the State address, I had a conversation with Townsend, and we talked about this, actually, very briefly. And he said something like, what are you working on? And I said, well, we're trying to get this. He's like, I'm aware of that judicial records bill. You got it in the Senate. In the Senate, right through. I'm a Senate sponsor. Goes right through. Just, you got to work on the House. Now that Cindy is going to file it, what do you think Brian Townsend's going to do? Pulled his name off of it. Because in the struggle, what you have to do is lie and cheat and do underhanded political actions. It's the only way to free the people under apartheid. I mean, look, that's the only way they're going to do it. But yeah, that's what he did. He told me, you know, he gave me one of those deals. Oh, you know, Senate, fly right through. And now he took his name off of it.
They're trying to defund the police.
They're trying to defund. He's our own Chuck Schumer. He is. He's our own dumb Senate leader who doesn't really. I don't know whether he thinks he knows what's going on.
For every vote we lose in Odessa, we gain 2 in the North Wilmington suburbs.
That one actually worked out, though.
Yeah, the difference between that and the Schumer one is that one that worked.
Ring the bell.
We knew if we could just sway 2 soccer moms from Cape Town, we did not have to go to the townships and sell our programs. This is how we defeated the apartheid regime. I guess this would be centrist Mandela, not right-wing Mandela. But I had an opportunity to do it a few episodes ago. I forget how. But I didn't do it because Carl was on the knobs over there, and I was just like, Jesus, going to cut this out. Come on, buddy. You know what? I'll tell you what, Brian. Here's what we'll do. You'll be around during Feb, early March. We'll just, Carl and I'll come down and, you know, you can give us your side of the story. Be like, what's going on with judicial records, Bill? Like, why do you think Bethany Hall Long is going to be appointing? I mean, come on, bro. Bro, come on, bro.
Oh, you know what, Rob? Speaking of our former vice governor, most recent VG, apparently she was at the Trump inauguration. Were you aware of this?
So
it is pretty cool.
Here's what happened on Delaware Liberal this week. I was following the Bill Martin directive. I was fine. I was flying. There was a post with 20 comments. Yep. So you got to read those. That's what we agreed to.
Solely read those.
So I read that one, and then I realized, oh, there might be more conversation. If there's like 30 comments and we're going to talk about it, I want to go see what the other comments are. And when I opened it, it was a picture of the Trump inauguration, and it was like, who is this? And I'm like, I don't know. Who is it? And then I read down a couple of lines, and I'm like, did he really try to say that was? Like, why did he do that? Why did he post that? That's not her, right? I mean, it was like just some person.
I don't know if I've seen the picture in question, but I've heard from sources that she was there.
A lot like her. You think? I'm pretty sure it's her.
Yeah.
She was governor.
Because isn't she next to a governor? She's probably invited. Isn't she seated next to another governor in the photo?
Oh, because she got the invite when she was the governor.
Yeah, like I'm not.
So she went to the thing.
Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah.
That was real.
Oh, my fucking God. Like, how embarrassing. I mean, how fucking embarrassing is that?
I mean, it's the same thing as...
I mean, that's fucking
this might have changed by the time this gets released, but the word on the street is that Eric Adams... I mean, he definitely just cut a deal with the feds.
Yes.
And it seems like part of that might be that he resigns, and he's like clearly been moving more Trumpy. Bob Menendez just got sentenced to 11 years, and the first thing he did when he got out of that building was say, like, President Trump, you are all right. You are right about the swamp. We need to drain the swamp.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
I think don't normalize
him.
Like I just got 11 years. President Trump, they're stonewall. They're getting me. They're throwing me away.
If Bethany isn't able to make a comeback, maybe she does that same tack. Rod Blagojevich.
Yeah.
Every Democrat that's ever been
spurned,
like convicted for corruption.
Oh, okay.
Is going to become I'm surprised Kathy McGinnis has not done it yet. I really thought she was going to and like run in the RD14 race as a Republican, but
yeah, I just don't think that wouldn't have. I think she knew that wouldn't have worked, and there was really no other option for her.
She could have run against Russ. That was a competitive race.
Don't give her any ideas, please.
Come on, we'd just be reliving.
I don't think he's up till 28. So,
but yeah, should have been real.
I'm now that I'm putting together the idea that, and again we had just talked about like her thinking that she was like the governor. I mean, you are the governor.
She was the governor, right?
But she was.
Yeah,
trying to take she that lived away from her, like the first Cockburn. Nurse governor of all time.
I mean, come on, I got to break character here. This is some embarrassing shit. Like you're the caretaker through a fluke of the calendar. Like, it's like Al Haig. I am in charge here now at the White House.
Right.
Like, okay. I don't know. Like, it's whatever happened the last 3 months of the Biden administration, whatever was going on there. Like, it's just like through a fluke of something, you have to sit in the chair for 3 days. Come on. It's just embarrassing. I mean, I don't know. I'm actually, it's a little bit shocking now that it's sort of sinking in that it wasn't a fake photo. I thought it was phony.
I'm curious about the pretzel formation of some more liberal folks' brains trying to be like, who are real, like, Bethany fans, of which there are many.
Here's the thing. The people who are mad at Meyer, because they threw everything behind Bethany, the leadership of the House, and, you know, Brian Townsend,
yeah,
you know, Chancellor, Vice Chancellor Townsend. Like, they don't care. They're just in it for the transactional sort of the right. They just want to be in the right lane. And they don't care. They're like, oh, Bethany, you know, she was the governor, and she went with the other governors to the thing the governors do, and she had to, like, suck it up and go. Like, it's like a duty. Like, you have a duty to go to it because you're like a governor when the invitation happens to be in the mailbox. But it just goes to show you that you're completely deluded. Your delusions have reached, they've manifest. Like, you're lost. You're nobody. It's over. Like, stay mad in the house, I guess. Like, everybody knows Mimi's going to stay mad. Okay. I don't care. It just seems like so fucking pointless because it's so nakedly transactional and stupid. The Bethany stuff is just throwing me for a fucking loop. Oh, let's do a little teaser. I'm telling everybody about the new series coming up. Audio series on the history of the Knights of Labor, a 12 episode epic, heavily, heavily researched, written, produced, and performed by super producer Carl. Is it going to be called Storm the Fort?
Yeah.
Storm the Fort.
I've written on too many things now to change the name.
Okay. Storm the Fort.
There's one mention of why that's the name that I finally got to, but
yes. So what are your plans for this? Can you kind of share with everybody now that a full draft is complete? Obviously the shape and direction and everything is going to sort of stay the way it is. So what can you tell us about it and when can people expect it?
But yeah, in terms of like the idea behind this podcast, cause I mean, we've been talking about it kind of on and off, and I actually published something in the call about it back in January of 2024, was started out more personal in the sense of I wanted to have a big project like this, and I needed something that was, I think, understudied, but also could interest me enough to do it for a year or more. But I do think in the context of right now, it is a particularly important story. So for those who don't know, the Knights of Labor was not a union technically, but a labor organization that was founded in 1869, right up the road in Philadelphia. It was a secretive society of garment cutters, but they wanted to organize all the productive capacity of the country and then eventually the world under one common organization to fight for a cooperative commonwealth where all workers had equal ownership of the means of production functionally. That's what they didn't say it like that, but that's what they meant. And regardless of race, ethnicity, gender, craft. So they're very inclusive, apart from the Chinese, which I talk about in the story, because there's always got to be a catch. They were really bad on the Chinese.
Put in historical context. May
or may not have led to a massacre. But they, we think of now as the hegemonic labor organization in America is the AFL-CIO. Even more so now that, which is, this is good, that SEIU just rejoined a couple weeks ago, which is very exciting. But the AFL was founded basically in response to the Knights of Labor as a more conservative alternative. Because the Knights of Labor, they organized everybody. They organized black workers in the South. They organized women. They organized not just like women who were working in factories, but like housewives, domestic workers. They organized immigrant miners. They organized white-collar workers before anybody else did that. In 1886, they suddenly had this huge burst of energy, became the largest labor organization the country had ever seen. And it was like the highest unionization rate in the country until like 1919. But then just as quickly, they fell apart. And so it's not as recognized today because it was seen as sort of ephemeral and as sort of backward looking by a lot of historians. But there's a lot of interesting information of, you know, if you're trying to organize the entire working class, which is what they were trying to do, especially in a very conservative retrograde context, which is kind of similar to what we're going into now, then I think we have to look at these organizations like the Knights of Labor that tried to do it and see where they succeeded, where they failed, and why they did those things. So that's sort of the framing that I have for this podcast, which is like, I want to tell the story of the Knights of Labor because I think it's very underknown. Like every labor thing that I look into, they talk about it for a little bit and then they just kind of gloss over it. So I want to like fully tell that story and the story of all those people who were involved. And then also taking that and learning from it, like if we're trying to organize the multiracial working class in 2025, what can we learn from the Knights of Labor in 1885?
Let me ask you a question, because you must have a pretty good, based on that summary, now I'm even more excited than I was before. But you mentioned the AFL-CIO, the SEIU sort of joining back up. The Teamsters, and of course I've mentioned before, my dad started as a UPS driver. My pops drove a package car for 12 years and then moved up internally. And that's how he made his living. That's how we, that's why I'm here, basically. And they're huge. Their new president is very outspoken and out there. But his politics, or at least the way he fronts his politics, is very different than what I guess people expect.
Yeah.
And you must have, I mean, you can kind of talk about it because I'm sure we actually haven't talked about Sean O'Brien, but you've been in the midst of reading about people organizing around labor in a particular context.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the same. It strikes me as being a very similar idea.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's a constant, because back in the 1880s, the political divisions were actually, today they're a little bit more ideological. At the time, they were more ethnic. So if you were like a German, in most places, you were probably a Republican, whereas if you're like an Irish worker in New York City, you're probably a Democrat. If you're a white farmer in the South, you're probably a Democrat. If you're a black farmer in the South, you're probably a Republican. And so people came into, the one thing I do like about the 19th century that is very different from today is that if you look at this period from the Civil War to like the Spanish-American War, there were so many third-party movements that tried to break free from the Democratic-Republican Party mold. But you also had a lot of individuals. One of the biggest complaints that the AFL had with the Knights, because it wasn't purely about like conservative versus progressive, it was about a matter of like strategy as well. So one of the constant complaints against the Knights from the AFL was like, oh, it's full of politicians. And part of that was like people would join the Knights of Labor just to be like, oh, here's all these voters. I'm going to like join the Knights of Labor because there's very liberal membership requirements, so I can join basically doing whatever. And then I'm going to use that to like rally my base to run for an election that happened in a few places. A lot of those people, to be fair, actually ended up being pretty good politicians compared to the average person at the time, but that was a thing. But then also there was this constant situation. Terence Powderly, who was the Grand Master Workman, which is the president basically for 15 years, he was a mayor of Scranton, Pennsylvania, under the Greenback Labor Party ticket. And then he was like with the Democrats for a little bit. And then after he got kicked out in 1893, he basically became a full-on Republican stooge and like campaigned for William McKinley and the tariff in 1896 against William Jennings Bryan. And then you had like several other cases where like people who had been leaders in the Knights basically got bought off and like brought into the Republican or Democratic machines based on where they lived. So yeah, the politics of the politics was very much a thing at the time.
This is interesting shit, bro.
I can't wait.
I know.
It's going to be multiple episodes. It's going to be a lot of info.
Right? 12 eps. Yeah.
And I want to maybe do some bonus episodes. Because actually, just talking through that, I do want to talk about like the party politics more. Because I don't really get to that in the main script. But it comes up several times. Because especially in the South, it was very interesting because they did have several, like in Richmond, Virginia, they had a third party, Working Men's Reform Party ticket. And the way that it was essentially like broken apart by the Democratic establishment and then sort of like undermined by the Republican establishment was very interesting and resonated a lot with some of the work that we do today.
Everyone's against us. Trying to get us. Now I'm very excited about this, for tons of reasons. It again, you read, what, 22 books, something like that?
40.
40 fucking books.
So a few of them I'd already read before and just sort of like skimmed again, but...
You know, so it's going to be scripted, but it's going to, if you guys are familiar with like some of the history podcasts that are sort of more exciting, it's going to be sort of like that. And I'm going to come right out and say it. For about 6 months, I've been silently sort of lobbying for myself for some small cameo in this goddamn thing. And, you know, I didn't come out and say it, but, you know, 30 old man of bone, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I guess
I'm not saying I want to be powderly. I'm just saying there could be...
People have to wait until April 10th to find out. That's my goal release date, because we're going to be recording hopefully in February and early March. Because, yeah, the goal is basically to have the episode that's about May Day come out on May Day, because... I don't know how much people know the story, but the origin of May Day as May 1st as like a workers' holiday, that begins in 1886 with the Knights of Labor in a way that they actually would not have liked, but it did happen.
But it happened, folks, and you're going to learn more about it on Storm the Fort.
You'll probably hear some familiar voices along the way.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, fingers crossed. Too. My fingers are crossed.
Carl, did Jess tell you her sort of like funny situation discovering social media?
Oh, she didn't tell me, but you told Kirsten.
Okay. It was like, so basically the gist of it was Jess is on X, the Everything app, and she's like, wait, what the fuck? There's a account all about the Knights of Labor. They're doing a podcast. It's like, I got to call Carl. And she like starts DMing Carl and is like, oh, this is Carl's account. Storm the Fort. His Knights of Labor centric account and podcast.
Oh, he's the guy. He's doing this.
There aren't
you can
two.
Follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Blue Sky. Excellent. The Something app.
Yeah. I remember when I had a somewhat similar experience, although when I saw the first post on X the Everything app, Twitter at that time, I don't remember.
No, that happened for you.
It was X the Everything app.
As it always has been.
But as and always will be. You know.
Rock.
If when the 21st century Charles Manson is caught and incarcerated, instead of a swastika in his forehead, he will carve an X with the shadow thing.
Yeah.
That's what it's gonna be. That's pretty good. That's staying in. But I saw the post, and it was like, Knights of Labor, Storm the Fort, and I went, wait. I don't know how I did it. I was like, oh, this is Carl. This is it. He's doing it. This is it. Where it's happening. But yeah, I didn't. That's so funny when she started to DM. She was like, Carl, you're never going to believe this.
You got scooped.
I have literally been like on Blue Sky and Twitter. I search Knights of Labor every like 2 weeks to be like,
see,
no one else is doing this, right? I have found one guy who's like my favorite guy who is obsessed with the Knights of Labor and RFK Sr., like the former Attorney General and presidential candidate. And he was convinced that both of them were taken down by like the same imperial forces.
Sirhan, Sirhan?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Some combination of the CIA and the Palestinian Liberation Movement.
That's hilarious. No, I can't imagine anybody has done anything like this ever before, to be honest. No. And I would hope that
I would have found it by this point if they had.
Look, I found it interesting, and I know this is a thing that could be studied, and there was information out there. But even, you know, I've read tons of books and talked to people about this time and like Reconstruction into the Gilded Age sort of time.
Yeah.
And I literally read a 1,000-page book and interviewed Richard White. And in his book, I don't know if we mentioned it. I might have mentioned it because I knew you were already sort of interested in it. But I noticed in his book of that many pages, I think the Knights are talked about in like maybe 9 paragraphs.
It's something like that, because it's around the Jay Gould strike in 1885 and 1886.
Is that what it was?
That's their big thing. He might have mentioned it around Haymarket.
Yeah.
But yeah, I
mean, it's definitely a thing.
It's definitely
not
mentioned.
It's not ignored, and it's put in its context, but there's no...
Yeah. I mean, for full context, the last book that was written that was just a history of the Knights of Labor was written in 1929. there was a biography of Terence Powderly, who was the Grandmaster Workman, that was written in like 2000. But there's not been a full Knights of Labor book or something that was just focused on the Knights of Labor in almost 100 years. Like, it's there's a lot of secondary stuff. So I read a lot of books that included
the
Knights of Labor.
I feel like we should be putting this behind a paywall. Fucking paywall this shit. But look, you workmen. We're workmen too. He's working. See what Carl's doing? That's called work.
It's a lot of work, man.
Shoo. Like,
it's like a doctorate, right?
Well, that's
your thesis.
Here's what I mean. Many of our friends have said, let's put it that way. It is, as written right now, what, 90,000 words, 12 chapters?
Yeah, 90,000.
I mean, that is a...
That might have to come down a little bit.
That's a, but that is book length. I mean, that's a master's thesis. Sure. Like, I think we should speak to some people about having it, you know, peer-reviewed, as they say. And... you know, and just getting it published.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest regret is and depending on how this goes, if people are interested, I have not gone to the Terence Powderly Archives, which are located at Catholic University in Washington, D.C.
D.C., we're taking a train, baby!
But if this, you know, if it gets if it gets enough pickup, then I might, you know, take a few trips down to the archives and then try to turn this into something more
Catholic
official.
Catholic University in D.C. is actually pretty... Have you ever been there?
No.
You go out, you can get on a metro right at the train station. You just take the train, get on the metro. It's like two or three stops. It's the same place where Gallaudet, the deaf university is. Mm-hmm. You go up the hill through Catholic University, and there's a huge cathedral, like the National Cathedral is right there. And then you walk a few more blocks is a big medical center where my grandson was after he was born. That's how I know I've been in this neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It's just really neat. We got to do a whole full trip. There's also a cool thing there. I forget how it worked, but there's a big field out there that was like the original way the settlers were draining water from the Potomac and like basically naturally filtering it through these like troughs. It's just in a big field right by this hospital. It's pretty neat. Anyway, it's a neat neighborhood where Catholic U is. Made me think of it.
Yeah, it's nice. I'm interested in heading down there. So
cool.
Make sure to like, share, and subscribe.
This is going to be big. I love it. Well, folks, this has all been produced in basically the new Highlands Bunker. There's a lot of work to be done. But, I mean, that's goes without saying. But I think the vibe, the functionality and the vibe is here already, I believe. I think we've done it. We've only gone and done it. As my skimming goes, there's another story that I've skimmed, but I haven't really dived into.
Yeah.
The new BPG project just opened in time for John Carney's big coming out party as a demoted loser. Humble Park Apartments. Is that what it's called? Humble Park Tower?
Humble Park.
Humble Pie Apartments.
It's just so... it's like sad almost as a Wilmingtonian to just be like, this is what we're doing.
I'm genuinely sad BPG purchased the DCAD building. That sucks. Like that's something. That's like a really shitty thing to see on your watch. Happen on your watch.
Well, get ready. It's funny because we were speaking to Bert earlier, and Bert is a huge patron of a lot of places, and one of them is a Nomad Bar, the jazz club, the live music, no cover all the time, and that place is for sale. Now, the family that owns that, Linda and her family, they own that building. They've owned it since, like, the uprising in Wilmington. It's on Orange and 9th and Orange, 10th and Orange, something like that. The problem with that is right in the, that's in a, in the BPG blast zone, basically. Like, that's in, that's, you're into crosshairs there. So the idea that like one of the only cool sort of cultural little things that people did, I mean, you can ask any scruffy reporter that you know, whether it be Lex Wilson, Kay Baker, Jordan Howell, they all love the Nomad. And again, it will be we say like BPG blues or something.
Yeah, God, that's a good one.
You know, it's just
turn it into a swing revival club.
Somebody, I think Andre said something about calling it like Bardea Jazz, and then he couldn't even laugh at his own joke, which he loves to do, and it made him sick to say to say it out loud. But again, yeah, I mean, any kind of, we can't have anything nice. Fucking Carney. There was a fun picture of him like on top of the building staring out over the city.
Every mayor's got to get that.
I'll tell you what, boy. I had thoughts about that. Lots of thoughts. Man.
How can we renegotiate the city wage tax to make it more attractive to bring young workers and their pocketbooks to downtown? I don't know. That's what it was probably going on. That and, as I said last time, www.philadelphiaeagles.com.
So I'm gonna suggest this. We take that photo, and we just put a huge thought bubble above it, and we do a meme of all that shit.
Yeah.
We say philadelphiaeagles.com. we say
that's a good meme.
You know, there you go. You know, open seat / Philadelphia Phillies. Or, you know, whatever. Like, just dumb shit. Like, looking out over the city and saying, I wonder if we can cut some bus routes and somehow make some extra cash through the transportation fund. You know?
Yeah.
I wonder if Jeff got that job at the port. Yeah, I mean, we could use this like crazy. I mean, he's actually in some ways easier to do than Przycki, and a little bit more fun, I would say. Przycki was like real grumpy, which was kind of fun, but it hurts. It seems to hurt Carney in a way that didn't hurt Przycki. He would be like mad or grumpy about it, or you could get to him like that, you know, but. Like, Carney's like a baby. Like, Coons. He's Coonsian in that way. Like, some people, like Carper, he don't give a shit. Like, you know, he kind of doesn't care. He just acts like goofy, you know. But you know, Coons acts like a baby. That's Carney. Which makes, actually, bird dogging and shit a lot more fun. I like it more when the person's, like, acts like a bitch. Because that's what he does. He acts like my bitch. I love that shit. Calling him fucking Governor Markell and shit and Mayor Markell. I own that motherfucker. It's great. I'm trying to convince more and more people to go independent. I love talking to Riley for that reason. I feel like Carl's itching towards independence. We just had that conversation. Thank you for that. Goddamn wards. We can't win in the wards. We only win on the doors.
That's true. And they don't like you going to the doors.
Look. Have you seen this? Yes, bud, we've seen it.
It's exempt from the landlord-tenant code.
Ooh. Excuse me? All right. Everyone, we've done so much content for you this week. We've been so productive. I feel like we should take a week off. We probably won't, though. Ah, you know what? God bless us here in Carney's Wilmington, and left is best.